Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
Canada. 54 Canadian parliamentarians issued a joint statement condemning the CCP's ongoing persecution of Falun Dafa and its escalating transnational repression during a recent event marking the 26th anniversary of the persecution in China. It said in part, in 2025, bomb and mass shooting threats were sent to venues hosting Shen Yun, a classical Chinese dance company founded by Falun Gong practitioners, in 4 Canadian cities, among over 140 such incidents reported worldwide. Some of these threats have been traced to sources in China. These acts are part of a broader global CCP-led campaign of sabotage aimed at suppressing Falun Gong and Shen Yun. The document referenced a statement issued in June by the G7 leaders, which affirmed their commitment to protect communities and condemned transnational repression as a serious threat to rights and freedoms, national security, and state sovereignty. It said, the CCP's campaign against Falun Gong clearly exemplifies the very dangers the G7 has called on the world to resist together.
Belgium. Falun Dafa practitioners held an event in front of the Chinese consulate in the city of Brussels on July 18th. They meditated, demonstrated the exercises, and raised awareness of the Chinese Communist Party's 26-year-long persecution, as well as of the regime's escalating transnational repression. The president of the Belgium Falun Dafa Association, Nico Bijens, said that there are 9 practice sites in Belgium. Practitioners also host free webinars to encourage more people to learn about the cultivation practice. Veteran practitioner Karen said, "Silence will only aid the growth of evil. Speaking out to condemn the persecution is the first step in upholding justice."
USA. The annual Ann Arbor Art Fair took place in the state of Michigan from July 17th to July 19th. It is one of the largest art fairs in the country, drawing nearly 1,000 artists from around the United States every year. An estimated 500,000 tourists go to the fair because of its outstanding reputation. Falun Gong practitioners displayed information introducing the practice at a booth and provided flyers in 4 languages. They also raised awareness about the persecution and about how the CCP has been using the media in the U.S. to slander Shen Yun performing arts and Falun Gong practitioners in recent years. And in Washington, D.C., practitioners were invited to participate in the Lake Fair Grand Parade in the capital city of Olympia on July 19th. The group won a mayor's award from the organizer and was invited to participate in next year's parade.
Latvia. Falun Dafa practitioners gathered for an experience-sharing conference in the city of Riga on July 20th. 11 practitioners shared their stories and talked about tribulations they overcame and the understandings they gained from their cultivation. Norlina, who had been practicing for 2 years, shared her understanding of what it means to cultivate your heart. Loris spoke about becoming a local coordinator and also helping to organize the Shen Yun Performing Arts in Latvia. Ilza talked about how she examined herself during a process of improvement. She shared, "Looking inside myself, I saw in others the lack of discipline that I had myself. I saw that I was not a diligent practitioner." Judith described how she was affected by painful illness symptoms. She said, "Actually, it was a test of how I would understand, perceive, or react to this particular matter."
Israel. A peaceful protest took place outside the Chinese embassy in the city of Tel Aviv on July 20th to call an end to decades of Falun Gong persecution in China. An Israeli practitioner addressed the protest and called the state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting most horrifying murder and a crime against all humanity. A candlelight vigil was held in memory of the many victims of the persecution, researchers who investigated the horrific practice of forced organ harvesting suggest there are millions of victims based on the number of organ transplants in Chinese hospitals in recent years.
The Netherlands, Falun Gong practitioners from across the country gathered for a rally at Dam Square in the capital city of Amsterdam on July 20th. They demonstrated the exercises, told people about the persecution, collected signatures on a petition, and commemorated fellow practitioners who lost their lives for being unwilling to renounce their faith. Practitioners called on the CCP to end its 26-year campaign of persecution, discrimination, torture, and transnational repression of Falun Gong. Hans Nut, the director of the Dutch human rights organization Human Rights Without Frontiers, sent a letter in support of Falun Gong practitioners' efforts. Practitioners spoke with tourists from all around the world. Those who previously saw Shen Yuan or already understood the truth about Falun Gong signed the petition in support. One person commented, "We must speak up for those who cannot."
Croatia. Practitioners held a rally on July 19th at King Tomislav Square in the capital city of Zagreb, calling for an end to the 26-year persecution. Many people signed a petition to show their support for practitioners' efforts to end the persecution. A middle-aged man hurried past the booth, saw the banner displaying pictures of how the CCP tortures practitioners and the regime's live organ harvesting from practitioners of conscience, and stopped. When a practitioner handed him a flyer, he became visibly shaken. He told the practitioner he was a doctor and that many people who work in the medical field know that the CCP harvest organs from Falun Gong practitioners. He said he had been to China and met many doctors who were involved in the organ harvesting. Some of them, having done things against their conscience, felt tormented and wanted to quit doing these evil deeds, but were silenced by the CCP. He said he supports Falun Gong practitioners peacefully resisting the persecution for so many years.
Argentina. Informative banners, signs, and posters were displayed in the capital city of Buenos Aires on July 20th to raise awareness of the 26-year-long persecution of Falun Dafa in China. People of all ages stopped to read the display boards and listen carefully as practitioners told them about Falun Dafa and the CCP's persecution. Thousands of flyers with detailed information were handed out that day. Visitors were especially struck by the title of a banner that read, "Killed for Believing in God." Only 2 months earlier, the national government formally recognized Falun Dafa as a religion in Argentina. This was finally accomplished after a decade-long effort to overcome the CCP's interference at all levels. Practitioners also held activities in front of the Chinese embassy on July 18th and July 21st. Many people expressed support for their efforts.
Scotland. Practitioners from Scotland and Northern England held awareness-raising activities at Parliament Square in Edinburgh, Scotland on July 26th. Locals and international visitors signed a petition calling for an end to human rights violations in China. Some wanted to learn Falun Gong. Many tourist groups from China passed by the events, took photographs, and accepted flyers. A tour guide said he knew about Falun Gong and would tell his group. He also took some introductory flyers to distribute to them. One college student from China said that he read the 9 commentaries on the Communist Party and quit all the communist organizations he joined. He had also helped his friends quit them. He said he also read Master Lee's recent articles, How Humankind Came to Be, Why the Creator Seeks to Save All Life, and Why This World is a Realm of Unknowing.
USA. The Tianguo Marching Band, comprised of Canadian Falun Dafa practitioners, was invited to participate in the 64th International Seaway Festival in Ogdensburg City, New York, on July 26th. The festival is held for 10 days every July and is one of the largest and longest festivals in St. Lawrence County. This year's parade consisted of 120 groups, and an estimated 30,000 U.S. residents and tourists came to watch it.
Australia. A celebration was held in the Sydney suburb of Chatswood on July 27th. Local residents and elected officials spoke about the meaningful contribution Falun Gong practitioners make to the multicultural social fabric of Australia by sharing the benefits of the spiritual practice and the power of its moral teachings. Performances by the Tian Guo Marching Band kicked off the day's activities. Practitioners also demonstrated the Falun Gong exercises during the celebration. State Member of Parliament for New South Wales, Tim James, said, "I want to say to everyone in the Falun Gong community right across Chatswood, Willoughby, New South Wales, and Australia, you are welcome, you are appreciated, and we thank you for your gentleness, your truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. We do not have truth in this world. We do not have anything that surely is a foundation stone."
The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. In Jinwei County, Sichuan Province, high school student Miss Cai Shumei went missing 10 years ago when she was 17 years old. Her parents worry day and night whether she has been victimized in the persecution of Falun Gong. Miss Cai went missing one night from her dormitory and was reported missing the next morning. When Miss Tsai's family went to the police station to report her disappearance, officers refused to open a case for her after they found a Falun Gong book in her trunk. Pressed again for information, the police said that Miss Tsai had committed suicide but could not show any evidence of this having happened. Miss Tsai's family again went to the police station to request for an update. The police then pressured the family to tell them where to look and ordered them to pay for their travel expenses. Because the family couldn't afford to do that, the police stopped working on the case. It has been 10 years since Miss Tsai's disappearance, and her family are still waiting for her to come back home.
A Shanghai woman was abused and developed cancer while serving a 4.5-year term for her faith in Falun Gong. The prison authorities did not release her on parole until 2 months before the end of her term. Her cancer had metastasized to her liver by that time, and she died a month later in May 2025 at the age of 77. Ms. Wang Quandi was arrested in 2020 for distributing Falun Gong informational materials. She was sentenced to 4.5 years. When the guards at the Shanghai Women's Prison abused her, she went on a hunger strike to protest. She was later diagnosed with cancer but was never treated. After her cancer spread to her liver, the prison authorities finally released her on parole around April 2025. She died a month later. This was not the first time that Ms. Wang had been incarcerated for her faith. She was sentenced twice for a combined total of 10 years for practicing Falun Gong.
Over the course of 2 days, a mentally healthy woman was held in two different psychiatric hospitals where she was injected with sedatives and unknown drugs because she practiced Falun Gong. After she was released, her health steadily declined. Her memory was hazy from time to time, and she eventually lost the ability to take care of herself. She died in the early hours of July 28, 2025. The 38-year-old woman is survived by her newly wed husband. Miss Liu Binghuan, a native of Jinan City, Shandong Province, faced repeated persecution for her faith over the years. She served 1 year of forced labor between 2008 and 2009. After another arrest in 2021, she moved to Guangdong Province. She was predeceased by her mother, Miss Li Sufang, who also practiced Falun Gong. Miss Li was sentenced to 5 years in 2017 for talking to people about Falun Gong. She developed high blood pressure due to the mental pressure and physical torture and passed away in late 2019.
A Jilin City resident died on July 23, 2025, just 1 month after being harassed yet again for her faith in Falun Gong. After the persecution began, Ms. Du Hongfeng was repeatedly arrested. She was first given 21 months of forced labor. After another arrest in 2002, she was given 2 years of forced labor. Ms. Du was arrested again in 2007 with her husband, Mr. Guo Yuncheng, and their son, Mr. Guo Fenguen, both Falun Gong practitioners. The elder Mr. Guo was later sentenced to 14 years in prison. Ms. Du was arrested again in July 2008 and sentenced to 8 years in prison. In June this year, a street committee broke into Ms. Du's apartment. They attempted to make her and her husband renounce Falun Gong. The relentless persecution caused Ms. Du's condition to suddenly deteriorate. Days later, she fell into critical condition and was rushed to the hospital. After a few days of treatment, Ms. Du was discharged because her condition was deemed incurable.
U.S. State Department condemns Russia's arrest of a Falun Gong practitioner. As the CCP continues to escalate its transnational persecution of Falun Gong, a Moscow court sentenced a Russian practitioner to 4 years of imprisonment. The U.S. State Department condemned the sentence and urged Russia to respect freedom of belief. According to the Epoch Times, Natalia Minikova had been raising awareness of the persecution of Falun Gong in China. The 47-year-old was detained for 1 year before the sentence was handed down on July 23, 2025, under a controversial 2015 law that critics say allow politically motivated prosecutions targeting international nonprofit organizations. 1 day before the sentence, Russian authorities in Siberia raided the home of another Falun Gong practitioner and confiscated the person's phone and laptop. A U.S. State Department spokesperson told the Epoch Times, "The United States condemns the Russian government's actions targeting and repressing members of religious minorities, including Falun Gong practitioners." Representative Chris Smith, who co-chairs the Congressional Executive Commission on China, said, "Russian President Vladimir Putin and CCP leader Xi have entered into a marriage of convenience." Smith told the Epoch Times, "Russia is doing the bidding of the Chinese Communist Party, as evidenced by the repression directed at a peaceful Falun Gong practitioner." He added, "Putin has made a bargain with the devil to the detriment of the people of Russia and to an innocent Russian, Natalia Minikova." Besides Minikova, Zhu Yuan from Tomsk, Siberia, was sentenced to 3 years in prison on June 27th under the same law. In November 2024, Oksana Shakina from the city of Pyatigorsk in southern Russia received a 2-year prison term due to her association with the nonprofit organization Friends of Falun Gong. The controversial law, under which carrying out the activities of an undesirable organization is deemed a crime, was passed in 2015 and has been used by Russian authorities to target more than 100 organizations, as well as journalists and human rights activists. Asif Mahmood, vice chair of the Federal Panel United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, told the Epoch Times that the United States should redesignate Russia, quote, "as a country of particular concern and use its powerful voice to highlight the repression of religious groups in Russia, including Falun Gong practitioners," unquote. Levi Brody from the Falun Dafa Information Center pointed out that Minikova's arrest in May 2024 occurred 2 weeks before a meeting between Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese leader Xi Jinping, in which the two pledged a new era of partnership. Similar roundups of Falun Gong practitioners also took place in Serbia and Malaysia over the past year ahead of Xi's trips to those countries. Brody said this reflected a broader trend of transnational repression tied to Beijing's reach. He went on to explain, these incidents raise serious concerns that Moscow and other governments may be suppressing peaceful religious groups to align themselves more closely with Beijing, using repression as a form of diplomatic currency. Moscow has listed 7 Falun Gong-related organizations as illegal and has banned several Falun Gong-related publications, including the practice's main book, Zhuan Falun, as well as on a report on the CCP-sanctioned forced organ harvesting in China. Minikova, an assistant manager for a dental equipment supplier, has practiced Falun Gong for more than a decade. She said, "It is very painful to see that my country, instead of protecting me from the persecution of the CCP and assisting in exposing torture, murder, and forced organ harvesting in China, is a tool in the hands of the CCP and persecutes its own citizens." She said she believes in the universal principles that good is rewarded while evil is punished.
Hudson Institute director condemns the CCP's transnational repression. Senior scholar and director of the Center for Religious Freedom at the Hudson Institute, Nina Shea, published a commentary in a magazine published by Florida International University called Agenda on July 2nd. She condemned the CCP's transnational repression of Falun Gong, which threatens Chinese Americans' freedom of belief and interferes with Shenyang performing arts. Ms. Shea outlined how the CCP uses spies and networks inside the United States to monitor, intimidate, and suppress Falun Gong practitioners, as well as Uyghur Muslims, Tibetan Buddhist, and Democratic dissidents. The article lists legal cases, threats, sabotage, and disinformation campaigns driven by Chinese agents. It also underscores the urgent need for a broader institutional response from the U.S. government. Ms. Shea pointed out that the CCP targets Falun Gong within the United States and is working on the worldwide suppression of it, as well as Tibetan Buddhist, Uyghur Muslims, and Chinese pro-democracy dissidents. This suppression isn't limited to cyber attacks. A shadowy network of China's agents, directed and funded by Beijing, is active within U.S. borders to silence and undermine these groups' freedom of religion and speech. She wrote, "A recent congressional report shows that Chinese spies have been operating under America's nose for 2 decades. In 2022, the FBI discovered a Chinese secret police station was spying, plotting against, and reporting back to Beijing on Falun Gong and other Chinese Americans from the heart of New York's Chinatown. The FBI reported that China's Ministries of State Security and Public Security, MPS, ran such operations. The MPS has an elite 912 Special Project Working Group specifically targeting Falun Gong and other groups. The Chinese agents spy and carry out influence campaigns on them, along with Americans generally, and also directs character assassinations, physical assaults, intimidation, and other coercive measures to stifle their freedoms." Ms. Shea continued, "Washington has responded with a case-by-case prosecution of China's agents, typically on winnable but minor charges, such as violating the Foreign Agents Registration Act and lying to the FBI. While essential, this alone won't stop the threat. A federal interagency task force is needed. The National Security Council and Department of State, Treasury, and Homeland Security should all be helping justice protect Chinese Americans' unalienable rights against a repressive foreign power."
Thank you for listening to the Mingwei Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China, and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.